Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome back to Hope for Today and our series on family matters. So my name is Najah Brown, Najah E. Brown, and I'll be your host today. And our co-host is Zenobia Bailey. Hi, Zenobia.
Hello, Najah. Hello, everyone.
Thank you. So today we're going to talk about the husband's role in the Christian family. And our Family Matters series will build upon the concept of family. And we're going to look at all of the family members' roles, the father, the mother, the children. And then toward the end of our series, we're going to present what is the number one enemy of the family. So if you didn't get a chance to join us or listen to our first podcast, I encourage you to do so. And that podcast was recorded on January 12th, and it's entitled Family Matters, the Role of the Christian Family Today. So a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the Christian family as God intended, and that's a specific point that we want to make. We went all the way back to the book of Genesis, and we looked at God's creation, his commandment to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth, and his establishment of the institution of marriage. And that can all be found in Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 28, through chapter 2, verses 1 through 25. And we strongly believe that God's plan for the family is the only one that works, and there are situations that can prevail. And God can, there's good in a lot of things that happen to us through God's will for us, but his purpose and his plan for the family is the only one that works. So we left off with some of the challenges, maybe we could even call them deviations from God's plan for marriage and family. I started out talking about some of the historical, cultural, political, and economical changes that have threatened the traditional family. One being that the marriage ceremony has just gone by the wayside. People live together, they try on the shoe to see if it fits before they actually commit to a marriage, a covenant, and vows. And then the structure of the household has changed. So God intended for man and woman to marry, and we now see that two men can be married, two women can be married, and that's considered a family and a household. And then the number of children in the family has changed. There used to be larger families, more children, and now families are barely having 2 to 3 children. One or two children probably is somewhat of the norm now. Wives no longer stay at home while the husbands work. And then the divorce is on the rise. Divorce amongst the secular community and also the Christian community is on the rise. And I'm going to go back and share with you a statistic that I was able to gather for this podcast. And then birth control is used and abortion is legal. And then we don't see extended families often living in the same household as we used to. So divorce is on the rise, and I was able to gather some statistics from the Center for Disease Control and Prevention and also from the American Psychological Association. But I'm just going to throw it out there because the statistics were very complicated. Some of the states that participated in the survey were excluded and various reasons for that. But 40 to 50% of married couples divorce today, and so that's a huge a percentage of our population who chooses to go into marriage. So today we're going to talk about the role of the husband. And we're not telling husbands, I'm saying we meaning Zenobia and I, we're not telling husbands what they should do or how they should be men. But rather what we're going to do is we're going to share with you a passage in the Bible that talks to the husband's role. So it's coming from the Word of God, and we're just sharing that with you. And I'm going to read in Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verses 25 through 32, and this is the New International Version. So it says, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the Word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and blameless. Verse 28 says, so husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church, because we are members of his body. And then verse 31 says, for this cause a man shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. The mystery is great, but I am speaking with reference to Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each individual among you also love his own wife even as himself, and let the wife see to it that she respects her husband. And we're going to touch on the role of the wife in the Christian family in a couple of weeks. So that's a lot, isn't it, Zenobia?
Oh, yes. It's jam-packed.
And then we could go verse by verse and try to dissect it, but time won't allow us to do that. So I'm going to just speak a little bit on, I like the analogy that is being made here between Christ and his bride, that is the church, the called out believers who belong to him, and the husband and the wife. What do you think about that?
Yes, you go right ahead, because that is very key.
Okay. So one thing I want to say is, you know, for the husband to be able to love the wife and be the husband that God has called him to be, the head of the wife, the head of the household, and to love his wife with that agape love, he cannot do that. We cannot. It's difficult for us to escape the demands of the flesh, and it's difficult for us to overcome the sin that's in our life short of Jesus' lordship. So the first thing is that Jesus has to be Lord of our lives so that we can submit to him, be subject to him, and do what he has called us to do as believers, and for the husband as the husband of his wife, the head of his household. So the husband is the head of the wife, and that's compared to Christ's headship over the church. Christ is the Savior of the church, and his body, we belong to him, so a husband should be the protector of his wife, one who is one flesh with him.
Excellent.
Husbands are commanded, that's a pretty strong word, huh, to love their wives, just as Christ loved the church. And the word love, agape, means seeking the highest good for another person. And this is an unselfish love as seen in Christ's sacrificial death in which he gave himself up for the church. So this is quite a bit, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And I think the word, I hear the emphasis that not only is in Scripture, but that you have lifted up for us the word love. It's huge, isn't it? Just even based on what you, even without the definition, but when you bring the definition to bear, would you repeat your definition for love in this instance?
It means seeking the highest good for another person, so putting someone else above ourselves.
Yes. And I wanted you to just restate it so that we can just park on that for a moment, audience. Would you just park there with us for a moment?
Okay.
That's a high order command, as Naja has originally stated, that God has given to the husband.
Yes.
It's selfless. It is a giving and giving and still giving. And although we're going to talk about the role of the wife, I do want to say here that as women, we can sometimes sabotage our husband's love for us because it doesn't look like what we think it should look like. And I just want you to just think about that. I know I have had some struggles with that as an early wife, and I've seen other women do the same thing, and sometimes knowingly, sometimes unknowingly. But just think about that. Can you be charged with having sabotaged your husband's love because you have an idea of what his love should look like? If that is the case, get out of the way and let the man, your husband, love you. Verse 33 gives us a tall command, women a tall command, wives. Wives must see to it that she respects her husband.
Yes.
Let him love you. You respect him and respect his love. And that breeds, I find, that breeds more love and more love. And you see, just like Naja and I are not responsible for each other's actions.
Uh-huh.
Now, we can speak into each other's lives, but we are not responsible for each other's actions. You are not responsible for your husband's love. He is getting his instructions from God. Let him love you and step out of the way. That's what I would really like to say, Naja. I think a lot of women are missing the love of their husbands because we're in the way.
Uh-huh.
There's a verse that quickly comes to my mind in Proverbs, and it says, a wise woman builds her home, but the foolish plucks it down with her own hands.
Yes, yes.
I want to leave that there.
Yes, that's wonderful. And, you know, Christ's love for his church, his sacrificial death, his unselfishness to die on the cross for his church, his bride, is a perfect example of an agape love, and that's going to manifest and work out in practical life in
yes.
the way that God leads. And so
yes.
I thank you for mentioning that sometimes a husband's a marriage can be sabotaged because a woman is looking for a certain kind of love. I would take the love of Christ and the type of love that comes from Christ over anything, you know. So
yes.
that. Thank you, Zenobia. Thank you for that.
Well,
so
and just like you know, sometimes I think sometimes we think that God needs to love us or do whatever we think He needs to do in the way that we think.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. If I give you a gift, you don't have anything to say about the gift that I give you. Well, you shouldn't. You might, but you shouldn't. Vice versa, if you give me a gift, am I going to receive it or not? And, in fact, it goes back to the gift of eternal life. When the Lord offers us his free gift, it's up to us to receive it or to reject it. We can't change how he gave us the gift, you see? And by the same token, I shouldn't want to change how my husband loves me. I mean, I may want to, but that's not up to me. And I've learned over the years to accept his love, his unconditional love, and the way that he issues it. And I tell you, that gives me more love. That brings more love into our home.
Uh-huh.
And I know I need to be quiet, so I'm going to. And so I just wanted to make that little point.
No, you can continue. No, that's perfect.
Our time's running out, though.
I know.
We'll pick it up next.
We might have to start back up with the role of the husband.
Yeah, that'll be fine.
In a couple of weeks. I think it will be a part two, possibly, or at least an introduction, ending and then an introduction to the role of the wife. So there
okay.
is one thing that I do want to say, though. Other than the church is an extension of Christ, so is the wife an extension of her husband, but that the bond between a husband and wife is greater than that between a parent and child. And it's sort of the mystery, you know, that is referred to about the two becoming one flesh. You know,
yes.
the husband will leave his mother and father and cleave to his wife, and the two will become one. And Paul compares the wonderful bond between Christ and the church, the love of a husband for his wife. So I think with that, we will say we will pick this back up in a couple of weeks. Join us. And if you have any questions, feel free to shoot me an email through www.yieldtothekingministry.org. We'd love to hear from you if you have any questions or any comments. Zenobia, was there anything else you wanted to say?
Just God bless everyone, and God bless you, Nasha.
Okay, thank you.